Well, I mean, it was a, I would say, quite impressive precision strike. Of course, as in all in these cases, no one took responsibility. Everyone assumes it's Israel. I think we can clearly assume that it is Israel. And it killed the real the commander of the IRGC forces, Mohammad Reza Sahidi, who was a key liaison to Hezbollah in Lebanon as well as in Syria, and a key liaison to his to the Syrian regime, plus his deputy. And a couple of IRGC officers. So someone had information that these individuals were in this building. It killed another a couple of IRGC normal personnel, but it did not kill a lot of civilians. So it was a very well-timed, obviously very long-prepared precision strike. Now, it's not surprising that in this current situation where Israel is in a shooting war with Hezbollah on a daily basis, there's still 80,000 Israelis evacuated from northern Israel that cannot go back to their home, that they will increase the pressure on Iran, who is also behind, of course, the Houthi movement, who is trying to choke the economy of Israel as well as in Europe, with basically closing the Red Sea for international shipping by shooting at the shipping. And this was, in my interpretation, a signal of Iran to Iran by Israel that things are getting serious now. Of course, attacking a consulate, i.e., a diplomatic installation, is something else than the buildings that we've seen attacked before by Israel in Lebanon or in Damascus, where we heard about IRGC headquarters, Hezbollah offices. So these were not diplomatic buildings of the sovereign republic of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So it is really a different category of what happened here. Also, slightly different from the killing of Soleimani, who was sitting in a car with another militia commander outside Baghdad Airport. There was no government facility involved. So it is a very risky proposition to do this. And let's just hope that all sides, keep cool heads.
That is the question that I want to ask you about next. Iran has vowed revenge, and often they try to do eye for an eye or tooth for a tooth, similar types of responses. What does that tell you about what the world needs to possibly prepare for at this point?
Well, I mean, the problem is any more significant step than what the Iranians are doing already, it's really hard to see how this is not going to run the real risk of a regional confrontation, right? So the Iranians are already holding, via the Houthis, international shipping hostage. Their clear affiliate or their proxy, Hamas, is continuing to fight Israel, and the Iranians have nothing done nothing to calm Hamas down and ask them to release hostages or anything, because they we continue to refuse proposed prisoner exchange deals that Israelis and the Americans have agreed to. Hezbollah, the main Iranian proxy, is shooting at Israel. Iraqi proxies have now again started to shoot at American installations in Iraq and in Syria. So it's really hard to imagine what else could Iran do that would not necessitate or at least increase immensely the pressure on the US administration to actually respond forcefully and by military means now more clearly against Iranian targets. So far they've limited themselves on targeting Iranian proxies. But if Iran does one more step, hijacking shipping in the Strait of Hormuz would be the go-to reaction that Iran usually uses to express its discontent, but that happens normally when there's nothing else going on. Now we have this quite regional, low-level conflict going on. So it's really hard for me to see what the Iranians could do at this point that would not really risk them becoming a target. And the Iranians are very careful, usually in their strategy. They're very happy to let the proxies die, and they're very careful not to die themselves.
Now, what about other terror groups that aren't connected to this at all? We know that inside Iran, at least we think Saif al-Attel, who is a key figure in the Al-Qaeda terror organization, is supposed to be or thought to be living in Iran. Then there's ISIS as well, which there's no love lost between ISIS and Iran. So how might this attack from your perspective, influence these other terror groups?
Well, I mean, first of all, for ISKP, they have already attacked Iran multiple times in Shiraz, in Mashhad, this big bomb attack in Kerman during, ironically, a commemorative ceremony for General Soleimani, who was killed by the Americans a couple of years ago. So for them, I don't think this changes anything. They're going to continue to try to attack Iran. It's part of the spectrum, including Russia. We discussed this a couple of weeks ago. ISKP has no friends and no allies. Al-Qaeda is a more complex proposition. Saif al-Adl is in Tehran. The rest of the Al-Qaeda leadership is in Iraq, is in Afghanistan under Taliban protection. It's not clear whether the Taliban didn't let Saif al-Adl come back or the Iranians didn't allow Saif al-Adl to go. However, if now in short order, Al-Qaeda would pull off an attack against American forces or Israeli forces that could be traced back to Saif al-Adl, I would still assume that this immensely increases the pressure on the Biden administration to attack Iran, because then the Iranian regime would have taken on the role that the Taliban had played just before 9/11. And, you know, it was clear what was the reaction to 9/11.
Dr. Hans Jacob Schindler, Senior Director at the Counter-Extremism Project. J.J. Green, WTOP News.